Next man up, 102.5, The Game, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Thursday. And let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew Allegretta, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, is on the line for his weekly visit as Vandy gets ready for Kentucky this Saturday. Vandy coming off the bye week. Andrew, thanks for taking some time. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Got back from Bowling Green last night. Vandy, women are 4-0, and I believe, are you on the call tomorrow morning?
I'm not.
Oh, no. Okay.
But I do have the call Sunday.
There we go.
And so, world famous Diddle Arena, baby.
Yes, yes. My second trip up there, it was just as glorious as I remember. Andrew, this Kentucky game, obviously a big one. Vanderbilt needs to win out to keep their college football playoff hopes alive. As you've prepared for this game, talk to some coaches. What stood out about this Kentucky team and the matchup for Vanderbilt?
That they're getting better. I think first and foremost, this is a Kentucky team with confidence. They've won three consecutive games. They've got a pretty good defense. They've held each of their last two SEC opponents to under 120 yards rushing, Florida at Auburn. That was a really good, close, competitive game on the Plains versus the Tigers, which, look, we were both at that game versus Auburn. I think that's a better Auburn team down the stretch as well. Both teams, Auburn and Kentucky, have made changes at quarterbacks. That's helped them. There's a lot of history between these two teams. I expect a really competitive, close, intense game on Saturday. Kentucky's looking to become bowl eligible.
Right, and Kentucky needs this win just as bad as Vandy does, for different reasons, of course. But I thought it was really special Clark Lee this week talking about Diego Pavia, and this is possibly the last time that Vandy fans are going to have a chance to see him in First Bank Stadium. Can you put into words the impact that he's had on this program in his 2 years here? You know, taking a 2-win team to a 7-win team last year and right into the college football playoff and Heisman conversation this season?
The short answer is probably no. but I do like the fact that Clark did provide the little caveat that, well, it's likely his final game at First Bank Stadium, but the door does remain open for Vanderbilt to host a college football playoff game, and they're just going to try to take care of their business. But I don't know. It's hard to add new language, new flowers for Diego. I mean, I think just the fact that we're looking at this situation where Vanderbilt sits here 2 weeks to go in the regular season with a very legitimate chance to play and compete for the national championship in the college football playoff is huge. There's a lot of people that make that go. It's not just Diego. I think the way that I have said this, and I really believe it to be true, is like Clark has a lot of confidence. Chancellor Diermeier has a lot of confidence. Candace Story Lee has a lot of confidence. But there's been very few people in the past 50-plus years of Vanderbilt football that have translated that confidence that might come somewhere else into the locker room to make the guys who put the black and gold uniform on and then step in between the lines believe that they're going to win a football game. It's probably, I don't know, for Vanderbilt lifers, you could probably reference a Whit Taylor made people believe that. James Franklin, when he was here, probably made those guys who put the uniform on believe. And I think Diego's on a very, very short list of Vanderbilt Commodore football, you know, coaches and players that have been able to be that conduit of confidence to everybody else in the locker room.
So I'm curious what your thoughts are on the bye week. What would you say was the biggest thing this team needed to consider and ponder and improve upon during the bye week?
You know, I think the coaching staff, TD, talked a little bit about you know, there's some level of getting healthy. Not that the team is in a bad spot, but it's still football. And if you're 10 games into a regular season, there's some level of a reset that has to happen there. I think there is a mindfulness to not letting the moment slip away. And I don't know that this is just a bye week situation. I'll give you two answers, TD. The straightforward answer is like it allows the defense to catch its breath, figure out why they've had a couple of moments. Clark doesn't feel like there's this catastrophic issue with the defense, but they're not quite as organized as he would like them to be. So the bye week helps them figure out the organization. And then the other part of this, and this is more of the psychology stuff, is Clark has talked in the past about what it means to be in the middle of the season. Like, you can lose yourself in the season. It's one thing to set a goal back in January. It's another to be able to self-sacrifice in November when you're near the finish line of your goal. So I think the bye week kind of helps clear everybody's head and allows them to attack the final 2 weeks of the regular season with the vigor that is necessary.
So that being said, you mentioned allowing them to attack the last 2 weeks. How important will it be for this team to come out, whether it's offensively or defensively, whoever touches the grass first, how important will it be for that unit to start like with a tremendous type of spark?
Huge. I'll tell you this. Like, I know that the Texas A&M South Carolina game was noticed inside the walls of that football program about what it means to be able to, A, start well,
yes,
and then obviously finish. And that applies to both sides, not pointing fingers in that game, but it was noticed about what it means to start well and then finish well. Of course, Vanderbilt did not start well versus Texas. Vanderbilt did not start well versus Auburn. Obviously, one of those games they were able to make the comeback. The other, they were not. I don't think this is necessarily going to impact the way that anybody plays the football game for Vanderbilt on Saturday, because I think it's an SEC game, and I think every play is going to matter, and the execution from quarter one to four is going to matter. I don't think Vanderbilt can snap its finger and say, I want style points and go get style points. But look, Miami just clobbered NC State, and they moved up over Vanderbilt in the college football playoff rankings. Well, if you don't start fast, you don't have the opportunity to make statements that you would like to make for the college football playoff committee. If you start slowly, you're going to be battling back, and all of a sudden you're reinforcing this narrative with Auburn and Texas and whatever down the stretch, which you certainly don't want to do. I really do think this team is very, very good, so I say this cautiously, TD. I think they're good about staying in the moment. I don't think they're going to chase external stuff at the expense of a victory. But if you don't start well, you don't have that opportunity. And Miami took advantage of a fast start and a big win to jump Vandy in the college football playoff rankings. So I think there's an extreme value to Vanderbilt starting fast.
Last one for you, Andrew. Vanderbilt with an opportunity tomorrow to go undefeated at home for the first time since our good friend Norman Jordan was on the field in 1982. What has made First Bank Stadium such a tough place for opposing teams to come play? And how have you seen that atmosphere grow over the last couple of years where, you know, the student section is impacting the game and the fans on the west side are impacting the game? It's really been special to see that become a tough environment for opposing teams to come in and play in.
Yeah, first and foremost, Jake, what's made First Bank Stadium a difficult place to play is the players on the field for
very
Vanderbilt. Like, you've got really talented football players that are executing at a high level. I think one of the things that I've talked about on other interviews, after getting the bye week and you watch some other teams play, and this is no disrespect to anybody, but you appreciate how efficient Diego Pavia is with the football. Like, he's going to go to where the play needs to go 90 to 95% of the time, whereas college quarterbacks, especially younger ones, that rate is a lot lower. So you appreciate how challenging and fun Diego Pavia is to watch, challenging for defenses, because he's so efficient and just the play happens the way that it's supposed to happen. Like Vanderbilt runs some of the fewest plays in the country offensively, and they are, I think, first or second in the country in yards per play at nearly 8 yards per play. So what's made it difficult is the players. Having said that, it's been wonderful to see the fan support gather around the players, especially the student section. They have been a ton of fun to watch that student section fill up from this year all the way back to last year. I mean, I can think the Virginia Tech game last year had a good student section. They saw the product and they showed up time and time again. And, you know, the Missouri game was impacted by the fans. The Auburn game was impacted by the fans. So when Chancellor Diermeier and Candace Lee and Clark Lee kind of had this vision 5 years ago about what it means to play football in Nashville in the SEC at nights or on an SEC Saturday, like, this is what they were talking about. It's so fun and rewarding to see the players' hard work be valued. And it's fun and rewarding to see the black and gold community take the opportunities on Saturday to get together and be the community that so many other SEC programs have been able to see over the years. And all of it has come together very, very nicely. So, yeah, the game is a sellout. I think just about every game has been a sellout, with the exception of maybe one or two at First Bank Stadium this season. It's been fun, super fun, to watch the whole community come together around a vision and really hardworking players.
Andrew, as always, appreciate you taking some time. Going to be a fun one on Saturday. 2:30 kick, 1 p.m. pregame, and we'll talk to you on Saturday.
As always, Jake.
Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football, joining us for his weekly visit, Commodores and Wildcats, Saturday afternoon inside First Bank Stadium. And again, you can listen right here on 102.5 The Game and on 94.9 The Fan. We've got one more segment on the show. We'll react to what Andrew had to say and wrap things up after this. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game.